This is the RX Power Hour. Powerlifting, strongman, and superstar athletes. Welcome to the RX Power Hour. Here's Mike Johnston and Brian Hildebrand.
Yeah, it's the same name, new voices, and a new purpose. Welcome to the RX Power Hour Strength Radio, the definitive name in strength training, nutrition, and promotions in the strength sports industry with me, Brian Hildebrand, and my bearded cohort in Columbus, Ohio, American Strongman Corporation Vice President Mike Johnston. You know, Mike, the slogan, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, really doesn't apply to too many this past weekend from Mr. Olympia weekend. Because
overall, it was pretty tame compared to
previous weekends I'd been there. So give me your perspective.
No, what happens in Vegas ends up on fucking Facebook. People with their goddamn cameras all over the place, twittering everything.
Yeah, I saw that.
If you have a shot or smoke a cigar, it ends up on Facebook.
That's right.
What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, my eye.
What happens in Vegas becomes immortal on the internet.
Yeah, pretty much. But it was pretty tame. It was very, very busy. We had a little bit of fun on Thursday night. Hanging out with you and your lovely better half, much better, drinking some beers and some well tequila, I think.
No, Sally Ann, no, she doesn't drink well tequila. She only drinks the good stuff. So I can't remember what she was buying that weekend, that Thursday night. But it's only the good stuff. She's a tequila connoisseur, I guess is the way to put it. So none of those.
Oh, there you go.
Yep. Well, Thursday night was fun. I think our favorite part of the night was, the Ask Dave segment that we're doing on RX now. We decided, since Dave didn't really show up at his own, meet and greet, that we would have a little fun with him on Ask Dave. You know, the Ask Dave questions we do are pretty wide open. You know, they've had people ask, Dave, when you shop for condoms, do you go to the big and tall section or the junior section? And they've asked nutrition questions and training questions. But this week was a very specific theme, and I won't let the cat out of the bag, but, it was a very specific, very personal segment that should be airing here in the next couple weeks from a lot of good people from the Olympia weekend at the meet and greet. So people have to certainly look for some embarrassing questions for Dave Palumbo in the Ask Dave segment. So that was a lot of fun to shoot that. But Thursday night was a good time.
I might have been part of that.
Do you remember being part of that, Mike?
Yeah, I think so. Like I said on Twitter, I'm Mexican, man. Tequila's like mother's milk for me.
That's funny. We were just talking about that. You're Ukrainian. What happened?
That's on my mom's side.
I see. Thursday night was a lot of fun. We had a lot of people come down for the meet and greet, from the strongman community and from the bodybuilding community, members from our forums on our website, and a lot of people knew that we were going to be down there, and we had a really good time. It was, I had never met Van Hatfield before. We'd emailed, but I never actually had a chance to meet him. It was really good. He's a really nice guy, and met his wife as, he calls her Miss Perfect, and I think he calls her Miss Perfect because she requires it. Not for any other reason. So they're.
Oh yeah, Jenny's a handful.
Really, at what, 5 foot nothing? She's a handful.
Yeah, 5 foot nothing. Really, she is a handful. If you could fit her right in your hands.
She was. We had a lot of fun, and then there was some friends of theirs that were there to support the Van for the weekend, and we had a really, really good time. We had a lot of fun, so we'll definitely have another one next year, another meet and greet at the Olympia next year for sure. I think we've tried to do them at the Arnold in the past, but it's just the Arnold seems to be almost even busier than the Olympia weekend. I'm sure it's the same for you because you guys have essentially two events going on at the same time.
Yeah, the Arnold's definitely busy, but the Olympia, I guess the Olympia is more like, the bodybuilding fitness world is more like the Adult Swim. The Arnold is more like, the kiddie hour, because you've got the little kids and the gymnastics and the dancing and everything. I mean, it's definitely a family event. It's an exciting event. Don't get me wrong. The Arnold Strongman The Amateur Strongman World Championship is amazing. Obviously, the Arnold Strongman Classic is amazing. And certainly the bodybuilders, I mean, you know, they come out, you know, with all guns blazing. But a lot of the expo itself is really geared itself toward, you know, more of a family event. You know, there's venues all over town at the Arnold. In Vegas, the Olympia, I mean, it's pretty central locations, you know, and so I think it's more of a, you know, more like a big kids time as opposed to little kids.
Yeah, and Columbus, Ohio, and Vegas really have nothing in common from a adult entertainment perspective. It's just my perspective. I could be wrong.
Columbus just got a casino. I mean, you know, they built it down near the old prison or something.
And it's staffed by the work release parolees, correct?
Yeah, work release program. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Low risk offenders, you know. Non-felons
and non-gambling related, right?
That's right.
So I want to chat a little bit about this weekend. America's Strongest Man was this weekend, and that was your and I's primary focus. We had a good turnout. Some really great athletes. All the new pros, all the guys that turned pro this year were there. And I just kind of want to start. I want to start off by talking about something that nobody really wants to talk about. But that's injuries that occurred. Have you talked with anybody about their injuries since they've returned home yet?
Well, I did talk to Andrew Palmer, and as it turns out, he kind of got, you know, it's not an official award, but he got the True Grit Award. You know, obviously,
right.
You know, despite the great performances, obviously the world records, the American records. I mean, Burke competing for a bunch of days and then coming on, you know, that whole thing. Andrew Palmer, during his signature event, the suicide medley, if you remember, like, just as he was carrying the duck walk, he twisted his ankle. Well, that twisted ankle was actually a fracture. So he carried that sled 50 feet on a fractured ankle. So that was pretty hardcore.
Yeah, it didn't surprise me. I walked backstage and he barely got his shoe off because it had swollen up so quick and so big. And we did the replay on the video, and the video got posted. And Andrew asked me to send him the video so he can watch it and keep it. But he was just finishing. It was literally his last step of the duck walk before he was going to lift the load, and his right foot just shot out from underneath him. But because of all the weight that he had in his hands, I think that's what caused him to keep his foot flat towards the ground instead of it, you know, kind of continuing off the other way, where he might have had a groin injury or something. But you could clearly see the injury happen. He grabbed his ankle, then shrugged it off through the duck walk implement into the apparatus for the end of the sled, and then continued on and it was ugly. It was ugly to watch the replay because it was clear you could see where it happened.
Oh, yeah, but, I mean, how amazing was that he continued on?
Yeah, he told me a couple of years ago. He competed in a similar event and had competed an entire weekend with a fractured tibia. Did he tell you the story?
Yeah, he's a tough guy. He's definitely a tough customer.
Yeah, he's and just a nice guy. And apparently the beard's going to come off. I mean, he had a legit fierce, he made Grizzly Adams look like Pillsbury Doughboy. He had an awesome beard. It was a weekend appearance for sure.
Oh yeah, that thing was epic. I'll tell you what, Oberst was real close, but Palmer just had that whole, you know, his beard was like 360. Oberst just had the long beard in the front.
Right.
Palmer was,
right.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Palmer looked like he'd actually gone to the salon to have it kind of poofed into shape because it was just this big poofy thing where Oberst was just kind of long and hanging out there. His was more like the hillbilly moonshiner style, where Palmer's was Alaska, Yukon, all man style.
Yeah, it was definitely groomed. And he left a bunch of it on the stone.
He did, actually.
Did you get a look at that stone after the event?
No, but I've seen the video and I've got the pictures, and you can actually see where his head is being pulled to the side as he's dropping the stone because the tacky is stuck to his beard. And afterwards, just, Brian, feel this. And the whole side, right side of his beard was just covered in tack. It was, he said he was going to shave it off, and he thought, you know what? Nah, I'm going to leave it intact for the weekend. I'll cut it off while you're at home. So I'll have him send us a picture of what it looks like without it.
Yeah, at the end of that event, that stone looked like a 1970s porn bush. It was disturbing.
Yeah, that beard took a beating this weekend. And did you have to take the clippers to the stone before you could load it in, or did you clean it up yet?
No, I just put some gloves on.
Yeah, you might need gloves. You might want to take it to the gynecologist to have it looked at too, just to make sure it's okay. But how's Tomas Rodriguez? He had a bicep rupture, a distal bicep rupture.
Haven't actually heard from him. But he was it was odd too, because think of all the heavy things that he had done. Obviously, even some of these guys are just big and strong. Tomas Rodriguez is a great example of that. He's a big, strong guy. I mean, he's got cannonballs for shoulders. But as he's coming up in the sport, he's learning technique. You know, some of these guys come in and they're polished. Some of these guys come in and they've got holes in their game. Even people at the highest levels. You know, we talked about it last week when we were talking with Michael Jenkins. One of the fans asked, or 2 weeks ago, beg your pardon, when one of the fans asked, what are you doing to get your deadlift up? You know, when Mike Burke first came into the sport, overhead press was not his forte. So some of these guys really are working on technique. And if you remember, when Tomas was trying to clean the log, he looked like he was curling it.
Right.
You know, so there was already a tremendous amount of stress on his biceps. And then, of course, you know, the stone event was certainly heavy load on the bicep. He was literally just picking up that, you know, and I say just a 230-pound barrel, but that, you know, 250-pound barrel that was sloshing around with water, he was just gripping the end of it to flip it over, because some of the guys were, you know, using a little bit of strategy, and there was a better lip on the top of the barrel, so they were turning the barrel over before they would pick it up. He had pushed it over, and he was just trying to pick up the back end, and he tore his bicep. You know, so it couldn't have been more than 150 pounds maybe of strain actually going through the bicep. It's just one of those things. It is a hazard in strongman. It's the nature of the beast. When you train this heavy, I mean, you know, Shaw obviously did it last year at the Arnold, or earlier this year, beg your pardon, but it's just one of those things that happens in the sport of strongman. It's just you push your body to the limit, and that's just one area of weakness based on, you know, the objects that we have to manipulate, you know, that's susceptible. So,
yeah, I guess if you think about all of the accrued injuries over, say, maybe the past 10 years, I think that distal bicep rupture probably has to come up as the number one surgical injury for all these guys, don't you think?
Oh yeah, I would absolutely. I mean, I tore mine in 2003 at a show in St. Louis at Eagle Gym. You know, absolutely. It's just I've seen so many of them occur. You know, last year at the Arnold, when Brian tore his, I was actually on my way back to the arena, and Dion called, said, "Where are you? Get here quick." And I went in, and sure enough, I just looked at it, and I've literally seen 500 bicep tears in over the course of, you know, 10 years doing strongman, just in, you know, and as a physical therapist, obviously I've rehabbed dozens of them as well, but it's one of those things that happens in strongman at every level, women, men. It's just the nature of what we do. You know, some people blame the tire flips and, you know, just the axle or a different apparatus. But, you know, the bottom line is there's a lot of violent tugging against an arm that's bent. You know, so your arm is not completely straight, and you're violently pulling something. And if that force, you know, overcomes that extension moment in your bicep, that distal bicep is going to rupture, especially if it has been beat up by doing stones and axle and log cleans and that kind of thing. And I think one of the reasons it's more prevalent now is with the advent of the super tacky. The super tacky sort of is analogous to gear. You know, wearing gear like powerlifting gear. You know, a lot of kids right now are just putting on a Phenom shirt and they couldn't bench their their way out of a paper sack, and they're putting on these Phenom shirts that experienced lifters are benching 900 pounds with, and they're benching 400 pounds, and they couldn't probably bench 185 pounds. Well, this tacky is the same. It's so sticky that your hands automatically stick to the stone, so you're going to lift a stone that is much heavier than your tendinous structure is capable of lifting. And I think that that's, if it's not causing the bicep ruptures in and of itself, it's definitely contributing.
Yeah, and you got to think just, I mean, if we're using the super tacky, that kind of gives you a perspective on the shearing forces that are being applied to the skin with that. And you're not seeing skin injuries. I mean, you'll see calluses come up, but those are usually knurling related, not tacky related. And true, like you said, it all depends on the position of the arm. Just having the arm extended in a slightly bent position, having the palm in a supinated or the palm up position versus the palm in a neutral or a pronated situation probably lends itself to more ruptures than it does facing, you know, to the neutral or the down position. What percentage do you think, Mike, of proximal or shoulder-related bicep ruptures versus distal or elbow-related bicep ruptures? What's the percentage, do you think, between...
In strongman?
In strongman, all of them that you've seen, what do you think is the weaker link, at the elbow or at the shoulder?
Well, it's really no comparison. In strongman, you really don't see a lot of proximal bicep injuries. Proximal bicep injuries are more related to wear and tear over time. The long head of the bicep actually passes through the rotator cuff interval and attaches to the top point of the glenoid fossa. So essentially, the bicep tendon, the long head of the bicep tendon, goes through the same forces that a rotator cuff goes through. So over years of heavy pressing, overhead pressing, and bench pressing, you'll get chronic wear and tear on the rotator cuff and on the long head of the bicep proximally, will cause it to fall down. I know you've seen the guy, they got the bicep falls down, it rolls down toward their elbow and bunches up. So that's more of a chronic long-term injury, where the distal bicep tear is certainly, there's a contribution by tendonitis and extreme pressure, but it's more of an acute rupture. And I would have to say, 10 to 1. With the distal rupture, you just don't see a lot of proximal ruptures in strongman because, a lot of the guys are younger. There's not an older group of strongmen running around. Whereas in the proximal ruptures, I would think in powerlifting, certainly in masters powerlifting, it would be more prevalent.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Perfect sense. I want to ask you real quick, Mike, how's your training and prep going for your XPC event coming up?
Speaking of old powerlifters, it's a beautiful segue, by the way, Brian. I know you had that timed out perfectly.
I did. Thank you.
It's going well. I will tell you this, as an older powerlifter, and all you young folks out there, listen, going balls to the wall, I'm all about hard training, and training as some of the folks on Twitter, some of the strongman folks, training like a savage. I'm all for that. But the most important thing, other than flexibility training, which we'll get into sometime as you get older, is rest. And you've got to know when to rest. Well, call it rest, call it work-related. Because of the Olympia, it sort of fell in my training cycle where I could have taken a down week, so I did. And I did very minimal lifting other than obviously having to move equipment and that kind of thing. But the rest made a tremendous difference. I was able to get back to the gym this week and just... I'm right where I left off. All the aches and pains of many weeks of hard training are kind of at a very minimum. I put the bench shirt on tonight. I was able to get a good line, able to hit some good numbers. So I'm feeling really good about it. But the rest does help. So I felt I'm very jacked up. I'm very animated right now because I just had a great training session after coming off of almost a full week of rest, a couple more weeks into it, and then it's go time, right after the week after I see you in Phoenix. No, we'll be getting it on, so.
And that's October 27th, right?
Yeah, I'll be on Sunday, so the 28th, but that weekend, absolutely.
Gotcha. Good. Well, it's good to hear. We'll definitely keep up to date on that in the next coming next few weeks. But Mike, before we go to commercial break, my favorite weekly spot, because I want to see how smart you are. You tell me how smart you are on a pretty regular basis. I should say you tell me how unsmart I am, which means you must be smart. So here's my weekly spot on this day, October 4th. Mike, many consider this animal to be the most important animal in sporting history. Died on this day, October 4th, 1989. October 4th? We need some Jeopardy music playing here in the background.
Yeah, I know, a little something.
1989.
October 4th, the most important animal?
The most important animal in sporting history.
Most
died.
Important
animal. October 4th,
1989. Most important.
Sally's behind me, and she is incorrect. She was in the ballpark, but
what sport? Will that give it away?
Yeah, really give it away.
And that's all sports, or?
You know what? I tell you what. We're going to go to commercial break. I'm going to give you a few minutes to think about this. Let's go to commercial break. Let's pick it up when we come back and see if, Mike, you can sort this out. And no Googling. No Googling while we're gone. So. you know, we haven't mentioned him yet, but our upcoming guest has had an incredibly busy past few weeks. He was in Los Angeles in Group 4, I believe, in the World's Strongest Man qualifier, and placed third in his group, not qualifying for the finals. So he and his family made the decision to drive overnight to come to Vegas. Arrives in Vegas, and I think a lot of people were, as you put it, brokenhearted to see him arrive, because he is such a dominant force in the up-and-coming group of guys in American Strongman, for sure. Mike Burke is this year's America's Strongest Man and had a phenomenal show and a world record to go along with it. Mike will be our guest coming up next on RX Power Hour Strength Radio. We'll be right back.
Custom Stacks Nutrition and its team of dedicated fitness professionals are here to help you achieve your fitness, sports, and body transformation goals. Custom Stacks Nutrition offers discount sports supplements, vitamins, and nutritional products to meet the needs of all types of fitness enthusiasts, from weekend warriors to competitive athletes and bodybuilders, and everyone interested in better health. We offer rock bottom wholesale prices with easy ordering, top rated service, and super fast shipping. All RX Power Hour listeners get 5% off all orders of $100 or more. Just visit CustomStacksNutrition.com and enter the code POWERHOUR when ordering. Custom Stacks Nutrition, your number one internet discount supplement retailer.
Tad the Diet Coach, contest prep guru for bodybuilding, bikini, physique, and figure. Go to TadTheDietCoach.com, an expert on nutrition and exercise science with over 20 years experience in fitness and bodybuilding. Tad the Diet Coach offers a complete scientific and individually focused contest prep or a full off-season plan that is custom tailored for your own unique needs. This kind of diet coaching is a premium coaching service that includes weekly conference calls, individually based diet and supplement plans, specific cardio and workout schedules, and constant contact during the contest prep or off-season process. Tad the Diet Coach, author of the Diet Recipe Cookbook, and also the creator of the Coach's Choice Whey Protein Isolate, which is the absolute best-tasting premier isolate on the market. Tad the Diet Coach will get you to the next level. Go now to TadTheDietCoach.com or send an email to info@TadTheDietCoach.com.
P28 High Protein Bread is the official bread of RX Muscle. Are you looking to incorporate more protein into your meals or just want to enjoy bread again? Then look no further. Try the 100% natural P28 High Protein Bread. P28 High Protein Bread is a formulated revolutionary breakthrough product. Packed with whey protein isolate, 14 grams of protein per slice, 12 grams of carbs, 8 essential amino acids, and made with 100% whole wheat. Fear bread no more. Build a better body with P28. Order today at highproteinbread.com. P28 is also now available at bodybuilding.com and many other retailers. Order now. highproteinbread.com. P28 Bread. RX Muscle approved. Fusion Bodybuilding makes bodybuilding's strongest supplements, and they're committed to giving back to you. Fusion Bodybuilding not only want to promote the bodybuilding lifestyle, but they also want to help build the sport. Bodybuilding is all they do. It's their obsession. You know the feeling. That's why you're here. Visit Fusion Bodybuilding at FusionBodybuilding.com or join in on the conversation on the Fusion Bodybuilding fan page on Facebook, where you'll find IFBB Pro Q&As, contest giveaways, and nothing but in-depth bodybuilding talk. Fusion Bodybuilding, bodybuilding's strongest supplements. Head over to FusionBodybuilding.com today.
So Are you from Australia, paying far too much for supplements with the inflating whey and amino prices? Why not check out the all-new RX Muscle Australia for the latest Australian and worldwide content and coverage. While you're there, check out Bulk Nutrient Supplement Store, the official supplement store for RX Muscle Australia. You can visit Bulk Nutrients at bulknutrients.com.au, your one-stop shop. And also check out the all-new rxmuscle.com.au. RX Muscle Australia, the truth in Australian bodybuilding.
RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
This is the RX Power Hour.
Welcome back to the RX Power Hour Strength Radio, the definitive name in strength training and nutrition promotions in the strength sports industry. You know, Mike, we had a pretty exhausting weekend in Vegas, but I don't think nearly as exhausting as our guest this weekend. Like we touched on, he was in L.A., busted his hump there in L.A., drove overnight to come to Vegas, and then, you know, in all honesty, pretty much dominated the entire event in Vegas. And that fine gentleman I'm talking about, you know, I should have asked you this question when I interviewed you, the last interview we did, Mike. Now that you are America's Strongest Man, what are you going to do next? And the answer would be, where are you at right now?
I'm at Disneyland, brother.
Yeah, I think your kids probably deserved it after having to trek around from L.A. to Vegas, back to L.A., to watching you compete, which I'm sure was a thrill for them. But at the same time, they probably deserved a little Disneyland break, right?
Oh, for sure. You know, it's not all it's cracked up to be either, going the world's first spectator. Spectators they're not accommodated, let's put it that way. So there's a lot of waiting, and you know, it's not as fun as you would think it would be for my kids to come and watch. So, you know, they take them out and do a couple fun things with them, you know.
Good for them. How old are your kids again, Mike?
My boy's 14, my daughter's 9.
Yeah, that's right. And, they were just ecstatic. I was watching, Marie was sitting over kind of by me when you hit the world record dumbbell today, on Saturday, and Marie was just, you know, jubilant, but your kids were jumping up and down, fist pumping. They were excited. They understood what they had just seen. So it was a good moment to catch.
Oh, for sure. You know, they get excited for everything I do, though. And, you know, my wife probably screams the loudest out of everybody in the crowd. So, you know, you got to love her for that.
Yes, I can understand that. Hey, Mike, so tell me, you won in Vegas last year, but you won the Olympia Strongman Challenge, and that gave you a shot to go to the Arnold, which you did this year. And then you did then went to Australia, qualified for World's Strongest Man, and you were training with Brian Shaw at his gym on occasion. What was your prep like for World's Strongest Man, considering you went from a heavy static event like the Arnold, you know, five big heavy events, really, and then you move into Worlds, which has got a big cardio component to a lot of what happens. What was your prep work like changing from one to the other?
Well, you know, to tell you the truth, my training was, as far as my static goes, you know, there's always a log, there's always some kind of a precedent at Worlds. So that, I, you know, I tried to bring up, and the deadlift, you know, there's always going to be a deadlift or a squat. So I emphasized on both of those, going heavy 1 week on one and light on one, and, you know, heavy on the other. But as far as the cardio and stuff goes, you know, I didn't really train too much cardio for Worlds until after I found out what the events are and I knew what I had a medley. And so, you know, honestly, my training for Worlds didn't change too much. I mean, I'm still just trying to bring up my static list and keep up with all of, you know, with everybody in this sport, because a lot of that stuff is really my weak stuff.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, plus we train at elevation, so I don't really have to do much cardio. I think where we live and where we train actually helps me. Whereas, you know, and then plus my background in football and, you know, but I don't know, I didn't train a lot of cardio, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, I definitely think, Mike, you got to agree that training at altitude is a massive advantage for events like medleys and that kind of thing.
Oh, well, I was going to say, Michael, we've watched you just wipe the floor with people on the Husafeld stuff. I mean, it's the same burn for everybody as far as, you know, their hamstrings and their low back and their hips. But, like, you just do it effortlessly, like, you know, because the breathing issue just isn't an issue for you.
It's not. And, you know, Mike, to tell you the truth, I don't know why I'm so good at front carries. I never train them. I don't know. Ever since the first Husafeld stone I ever picked up, the first Conan's wheel, you know, I don't know. I just, it's something I guess I'm built for or something. I don't know.
Well, you got those long monkey arms that let you get that over-under grip that so many guys wish they could get. And I think that there's a breathing advantage to that for sure.
It lets you breathe.
Grip advantage.
Right, and just the way I grabbed that Husafeld stone, that one that we use, I can actually, you know, I can get my hand all the way around the front, and the way I hold it actually benefits me. You're right, and with the way my grip is, that's a benefit for me too. So,
yeah, and most guys just don't have arms long enough to be able to accommodate that big stone and get that
right.
Kind of grip.
Right, and then they end up having a bear hug it, and their grip goes out before the rest of their body goes. I mean, you can only hold some. Your biceps can only hold that much weight for so long, you know.
Right, right. Tell me, what's it like training with Shaw up at his gym?
Training with Shaw is, you know, it's everything you think it's going to be. You know, he's got probably one of the best gyms in the world. He's got the best. I don't know. He's got the best attitude towards the sport. You know, it's what he does. It's what it's what he's all about. And he loves, you know, we've actually hit it off. And, you know, we've become pretty good friends, and he's taught me a lot about the sport. And, you know, he's actually changed my technique a lot of, you know, how I squat, how I deadlift. And that's why a lot of my numbers have gotten higher. We have an awesome group, and it's just not Shaw. You know, we have a couple other guys in the gym too, and it, you know, it's just our whole group together makes it a good training environment.
Yeah,
Brian and I were
a big difference. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, so I was going to say support system is definitely huge. You know, training with a group, especially a group where people are focused on getting better. And what we were talking about before we talked to you, Michael, was even at the top level of the sport, you know, some guys that were competing at Worlds, certainly guys that were competing in America's Strongest Man, we saw it, and even, you know, when guys, you know, get a chance to compete at the Arnold, sometimes there are technical holes. You know, guys have trouble with one apparatus or the other, or they'll have a weakness, you know, with Mike Jenkins. You know, we were talking about a head bend at deadlift. I know when you first started off, the overhead stuff wasn't your best events, but I think that you kind of shattered that with that world record dumbbell. But I found it interesting, and just to one of our, you know, we were talking about how you trained for the dumbbell or how you didn't train for it. And one of our listeners had a question. Eamon Hartford asked, how do you train overhead press in the off season, considering that you have to cycle in so many various apparatus, log, axle, or dumbbell, or do you keep it specific based on the contest?
Let's see, for instance, I mean, it depends on what I have in the show coming up. You know, if I have, let's start off this. I train pressing. It's the only event I train twice a week. Tuesday's always my press day, and then Saturday's always my event day, so I'm going to get in a pressing event on Saturday, and regardless of what that is on Saturday, then I'll just do something else on Tuesday, whether it's strict press with axle, whether it's log, and like, you know, training, going into Worlds, I trained a lot of long. I just kind of felt that needed to get brought up. And then, you know, I hit strict press and axle and stuff here and there. And, you know, I don't know. It's my only body part I can train. I can train twice a week, and I don't know why. But so that helps me out quite a bit.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Tell me about what you were saying after you hadn't even trained the dumbbell. Before the world record 265-pound dumbbell lift.
No, I have not. You know, honestly, I trained dumbbell heavy going into the Arnold because I know we had 255 for reps, and I trained it, and right after the Arnold, I haven't touched one since then. So the Arnold's been in March. I think the only time I've touched dumbbell is just trying to see how much I could pick up with one hand, you know, just like some grip training. But outside of that, man, I have not pressed a dumbbell, so I am... you know, I guess I'm not so surprised that I got it. I mean, my other pressing events have come up, so I don't know.
Yeah. Where are you at right now? Are you at the teacup rides? Where are you? I'm trying to figure out the noise in the background.
I am right in front of the World of Disney store, the gift store on the way out. We're waiting for the tram to take us back to the parking lot. I said they've got the music you hear. I think they have one of the little street bands out here playing on the street.
Gotcha. Right.
So
you literally, it's proof positive that you are at Disneyland. So that's
awesome. Sorry about the noise, guys.
No. You're good. So you wrap up in LA and make the decision, talk to your wife, make a decision, let's go to Vegas and let's go do this. And you drive overnight. What time in the morning did you get into Vegas? And then how much sleep did you get before day one in Vegas?
Let's see. So I left Thursday night. We got into Vegas about 2:30 Friday morning. Slept till about, I don't know, I would say 9, maybe, 9:30, got up at 8, and then, I don't know, I got, a good 6 hours worth of sleep, I would think, 5-6 hours.
So you got enough rest. After day one, day one was a pretty tough day. Everybody looked pretty beat up, but you looked extra beat up. And I asked her, I said, Mike, how are you feeling? And you said, I'm feeling pretty beat up. It was day one was a difficult day. Did you get some sleep? Because when you showed up on day two, you looked massively rejuvenated.
I did. That's all I did. I ate and I slept. I took I didn't even get to take an ice bath, but I soaked my knee, or I iced my knees for like 2 hours. Cause that was one of the main things that was hurting me, was just my knees from the yolks and stuff. But, and then I slept. I slept and then I got up and I ate some more and, I felt good going into the next day. So I think the ice on my knee helps,
Yeah, no, your knee was as big as my thigh at one point on Friday, for sure. Day two, the first event right out of the box, we had a dumbbell press. Kind of walk me through how you wound up at that 265, because the first three dumbbells you smoked right through, and I knew you had number four, but I wasn't sure where you were going to wind up with that, the fifth one, world record dumbbell. And Mike Caruso had gone just before you and had just missed the 265, but he had to push the lighter one twice because he didn't get the full, he didn't get the judge's signal on the fourth one. Walk me through those five dumbbells before getting to that heavy one.
Well, actually, all those stuff, I have never used Big Dog. I'm pretty sure those are Big Dog's dumbbells. And they were, so that in itself was, was an issue. And especially that, getting into that big one in the two in the middle were even bigger than the first two. They, I was actually worried about that. That was one of the events I was worried about going into because I've never touched those kinds of dumbbells. But, when you get out there and you get the adrenaline going, I think I did the first one with my left hand, and then I just went through all the rest of them with my right hand. And then going into the last one, I knew I had the event one because it took Caruso two reps to do the fourth one, and I did it on my first try. So, and then going into the fifth one, I just took my time. I got a breath. I relaxed for a few. I knew I had 30 seconds left to do it. And I just tried to get a big breath and give it a shot. You're either going to do it or you're not going to do it. And that's about how I approached it. And I just happened to get it,
Yeah, and I think we have some video of Mike Johnston's eyes after you hit that dumbbell, because I don't know that he thought you were going to get it. He had this look on his face like, holy cow, did you just see that?
Well, I got to be honest with you about events like that. One of my duties we talked about, Brian, is kind of picking events and picking weights. And I always go by something I call the rule of thirds. And the rule of thirds is when you're picking weights and events in a contest, is a third of the guys aren't going to do very well. A third of the guys are going to be somewhere in the middle of the pack. And then a third of the guys are going to excel. And the trick, if you're an athlete, is to be in the top two-thirds. Be at least in the middle of the pack and excel on a lot of events. You don't have to win every event to win a strongman contest because it's an accumulation of points. But when you have a world record, when you have an American record broken, it's so exciting. The crowd gets so into it. And we try to hype it up. Certainly as an announcer, I try to get the crowd into it. So when those people saw you do that, Mike, and then obviously for the second day, your family were there, and you talk about support groups, there can be no better support group than to have your wife and your kids looking on when you're breaking a world record. I mean, I get swept away watching stuff like that, you know. Still competing as an athlete myself, but obviously having been an athlete in strongman and then putting these things on, the crowd reaction to me is just amazing, and how they just, you know, they get on their feet, they're screaming and yelling. It really is something to watch.
You know, it is something to watch. I tell you what, Mike, you should see the videos of that my wife filmed. Everything gets blocked out except her screaming. She's actually screaming louder than everybody else. It's pretty funny.
Go ahead, Mike, please.
The crowd is part of it. You know, the Olympia is one of the better shows, man. We had a huge crowd that second day. I was surprised. And, you know, the crowd was into it. And, you know, that makes our shows even better, I think. Like, you know, it gets you a little more adrenaline, you know.
Yeah, it was, the Friday crowd, you have the people that are coming specifically for the Olympia, and then on Saturday, you get more people that are able to get off work and come in on Friday night and come to the show, and then you have a lot of locals that show up, and a lot of interesting women / men / not sure what their genders are.
Not sure what they are.
we had many of those watching you guys lift this weekend, that's for sure. There was one that fooled Johnston and some of the guys, because I knew it was a guy, but they were all like, "Did you see?" And I'm like, "It's a guy." And they're like, "Oh," but you know, a fan's a fan, so you can't complain. You know, the fans, when we had a huge crowd Saturday, which was really, really great to see. And the support is tremendous. And they really, being able to see you guys in person, you know, for the layman, so to speak, it's a pretty big deal, and people really, really enjoyed the show that you guys put on. Of course, Mike and Dion put on an awesome production that always runs on time, with no equipment failures, and the guys that work there to load and unload and spot and do all the work that they do it flawlessly, and it's always a great show to attend, because it's... There's no delay.
For sure.
It's always good.
For sure. And, I even got a comment on that. I think that was probably one of the better shows I've been to, with just in regards to how quick it went. You know, we didn't have real long. I mean, it went boom, 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 event, event, event. You know, I actually like that. I think it's better that way, because you don't get so cold. And I think that was one of the better ran shows I've actually been, you know, that they've actually put on in a while. And, you know, I liked it. I thought it was great.
Yeah, definitely got that kind of feedback from other athletes, too. Mike, do we have any other questions?
Yeah, actually we do. And this one is interestingly, it is from a listener, but he's also a competitor, competed with you this weekend. But Robert Oberst from California asks, what do you do after a big show? And obviously for you, two big shows. When do you go back to the gym, and when do you start going heavy again?
Well, it depends on what I have to do. And, you know, for me, I've got this week off. I'm probably going to take a little bit of time off next week. But I have to hit it heavy again here as soon as I get back. Cause I'm going to Iceland the first weekend in November, and it's actually a fairly heavy show. So I end, you know, I've got a 440-pound farmer's each hand and some heavy pressing stuff. But so for me right now, I'm going to have to hit it heavy again here in a week, because I need to get my farmers up a little bit. So that's about where I'm at right now. I have to go heavy.
Yeah, I'm speaking
now, after you come back from Iceland, your focus then will be the Arnold?
The Arnold.
Will you have a show before that?
Nope. I don't think I'll have anything before that. I think I'll just train. You know what I am going to do? I'm going to go to Ode puts on that show out in L.A., the Fit Expo. And after the Strongman show, they have a grip contest. And I think I'm going to go out there just for the grip contest and see if I can't do something out there with that. I would like to try to break the double overhand iron line axle deadlift record. So
cool.
Yep.
So we'll see. I'm not promising anything, but I've tied the record in training, so I would like to see if I can't break it in a competition.
Yeah, that Mighty Mitts program that Ode puts on is it's actually pretty well attended. I was surprised. There's a lot of interesting athletes that show up for those things. from across multiple disciplines. Those are fun, and that's mid-January, correct?
I think it's the last weekend in January, or somewhere around there for sure, yeah.
Yeah, good. Mike, I'm going to let you go so you can get on the shuttle and head out with your family. Is there anybody you want to thank or any sponsors that you want to thank? Sorry.
I'd like to thank Brian and the group of guys we train with, Tyler, Andy, and Zach, and then obviously Titan. Titan's my only sponsor. They sponsor me with my gear and my suits and stuff, so we got to thank them. They make the awesome deadlift suit. And then my family, and that's about it.
And for the people that are interested to find out more about Mike Burke, where can we find more information about Mike Burke?
More information about me? I don't know. I've got to figure out how to start marketing myself a little better. I got my Facebook page. We post stuff on there from time to time. Outside of that, I don't know. I don't have anything out there for anybody to see yet, so I'm working on it.
Potential sponsors, if you're out there, you're talking about America's Strongest Man 2012, world record dumbbell lift. It was absolutely amazing. You had the crowd on their feet the whole weekend, Mike. We'll have plenty of stuff up on the RX Muscle Power Hour site, pictures of you. If people have information they want to get to Mike, they have questions they want to get to Mike, if they want to forward that to us, we'll definitely pass it on to you, Mike. I mean, you certainly deserve it. I mean, you've been on a tear, since you broke into the pro ranks, and with that family support behind you, there's nothing that's more important than that. And just congratulations again.
Awesome, guys. I thank you. I appreciate it.
Mike, thank you very much. We appreciate it. And to find interviews with Mike from over the weekend, and I want to thank Jeff Saigo, who's one of our staff photographers at RX Muscle, who came out and shot hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of photos of all the athletes during the competition over the weekend. You can find tons of great pictures of Mike and the other guys in our contest section at rxmuscle.com, and I'll make sure I'll forward that link to your wife so she's got lots of good pictures of you. Super high definition, great pick, so that we can work on getting your name out there, Mike, because the guy that's only been doing this for 3 years, he's a family guy, who's a clean-cut guy, you weren't out partying hard, well, maybe a little bit with us on Saturday night, but it was certainly well-deserved. You're just the kind of guy that sponsors should be looking to help promote their products, and my best of luck to you. Mike, thanks for coming on, buddy, and best of luck in Iceland coming up in the next month or so. And I'm sure that you're going to represent the U.S. well. There's no doubt in my mind there. Tell your wife, Maria, I said hi. Give her kisses. And for Mike Johnston, Mike Burke, America's Strongest Man 2012, this is Brian Hildebrand. We'll be right back.
Custom Stacks Nutrition and its team of dedicated fitness professionals are here to help you achieve your fitness, sports, and body transformation goals. Custom Stacks Nutrition offers discount sports supplements, vitamins, and nutritional products to meet the needs of all types of fitness enthusiasts, from weekend warriors to competitive athletes and bodybuilders, and everyone interested in better health. We offer rock-bottom wholesale prices with easy ordering, top-rated service, and super fast shipping. All RX Power Hour listeners get 5% off all orders of $100 or more. Just visit CustomStacksNutrition.com and enter the code POWERHOUR when ordering. Custom Stacks Nutrition, your number one internet discount supplement retailer.
Tad the Diet Coach, contest prep guru for bodybuilding, bikini, physique, and figure. Go to TadTheDietCoach.com, an expert on nutrition and exercise science with over 20 years experience in fitness and bodybuilding. Tad the Diet Coach offers a complete scientific and individually focused contest prep or a full off-season plan that is custom tailored for your own unique needs. This kind of diet coaching is a premium coaching service that includes weekly conference calls, individually based diet and supplement plans, specific cardio and workout schedules, and constant contact during the contest prep or off-season process. Tad the Diet Coach, author of the Diet Recipe Cookbook, and also the creator of the Coach's Choice Whey Protein Isolate, which is the absolute best-tasting premier isolate on the market. Tad the Diet Coach will get you to the next level. Go now to TadTheDietCoach.com or send an email to info@TadTheDietCoach.com.
P28 High Protein Bread is the official bread of RX Muscle. Are you looking to incorporate more protein into your meals or just want to enjoy bread again? Then look no further. Try the 100% natural P28 High Protein Bread. P28 High Protein Bread is a formulated revolutionary breakthrough product. Packed with whey protein isolate, 14 grams of protein per slice, 12 grams of carbs, 8 essential amino acids, and made with 100% whole wheat. Fear bread no more. Build a better body with P28. Order today at highproteinbread.com. P28 is also now available at bodybuilding.com and many other retailers. Order now. Highproteinbread.com. P28 Bread. RX Muscle approved.
Fusion Bodybuilding makes bodybuilding's strongest supplements, and they're committed to giving back to you. Fusion Bodybuilding not only want to promote the bodybuilding lifestyle, but they also want to help build the sport. Bodybuilding is all they do. It's their obsession. You know the feeling. That's why you're here. Visit Fusion Bodybuilding at FusionBodybuilding.com or join in on the conversation on the Fusion Bodybuilding fan page on Facebook, where you'll find IFBB Pro Q&As, contest giveaways, and nothing but in-depth bodybuilding talk. Fusion Bodybuilding, bodybuilding's strongest supplements. Head over to FusionBodybuilding.com today.
RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
All right, this is Mike Johnston, and this is your House of Pain contest calendar for October 6, 2012. On the strongman side in Marion, Illinois, the Gold's Gym Strongman Classic 2012. In Converse, Texas, the 2012 Converse Strongest Man. In Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, the 4th annual Delaware Strongest Man. And in Morton, Illinois, Muscle on Main. In Cordova, Tennessee, the Tennessee Strongest Man. And on the powerlifting side, in Old Sin City, Las Vegas, Nevada, the AAU World Bench Deadlift and Push-Pull Championships and International Powerlifting. In Ithaca, New York, the 2012 IPA Ultimate Powerlifting. In Amherst, Nova Scotia, Canada, the CPF Autumn Armageddon Powerlifting Championship. In Parkersburg, West Virginia, the Raw First Annual West Virginia Push-Pull Open. In Warner Robins, Georgia, the USAPL Georgia and Southern States. And in Greenville, South Carolina, the WNPF Palmetto Push-Pull Championships. In Spring Hill, Tennessee, the APF First Annual Helping Hands Meet. And then Bryan Center, Michigan, the APF West Michigan Open. In Branson, Missouri, the SPF Missouri State Powerlifting and Bench Press Championship. And in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, non-sanctioned Best of the Midwest Championship. On October 7th, the USPA San Jose Raw Open Powerlifting in San Jose, California. Hey, and if lifting heavy things isn't your thing and you just want to lift heavy forks, October 6th, Darmastota, Maine, the 2012 Pumpkin Pie Eating Contest. I love me some pumpkin pie. And that is the House of Pain contest calendar for October 6, 2012. House of Pain, only the strong survive.
This is the RX Power Hour.
Welcome back to the RX Power Hour Strength Radio, the definitive name in strength training, nutrition, and promotions in the sports strength sports industry. Boy, I'm going to stumble on that all night long, aren't I? Hey, Mike, so, returning back to the original question, on this day, October 4th, 1989, excuse me, many consider this animal to be the most important animal in sporting history. Hopefully you didn't use your Google or you didn't run down to your mom's basement and grab out one of the Encyclopedia Britannicas or anything. Did you come up with an answer?
Well, it was we were poor, so it was Funk and Wagnall in my house. We got them at the grocery store, actually.
Right.
You know, you buy so many groceries, and they give you, like, a free encyclopedia every week. Yeah, so
yeah.
Funk and Wagnall. But no, I didn't.
I grew up in L.A., and we got a free skateboard, like, every month, because it wasn't about learning, it was about a skateboard.
And the encyclopedias were in Spanish, even back then.
I'm sure that
Hola,
there was
a little bit of that. Viva la raza!
I'm sure there's an affirmative action program that had them in Spanish somewhere. So, did you come up with an answer?
I did not. 1989. I keep thinking mascots and, you know, different kind of, you know, birds and stuff. So I'm just not. I'm not catching on. Maybe I'm a little bit slow.
Considered to be the greatest horse in sporting history.
Oh, horse? And died in 1989? You mean like Secretariat?
Yeah.
The first Triple Crown winner.
The first Triple Crown winner, Secretariat.
When was that? That was like in the 60s.
I'm telling you, that's what I found, according to Sporting Digest Daily. I'm not kidding. I thought Sally had yelled out Seabiscuit.
Seabiscuit. How long do horses live, Brian? I mean, I know you were alive in the 60s, but horses?
Barely. Yeah. Was born March 30th, 1970, and died October 4th, 1989.
Wow, when did Secretariat win? It must have been like a two-year-old, I guess. 1972?
73.
It was a three-year-old, okay.
Crown winner. Yep, first U.S. Triple Crown winner in 25 years, setting race records in all three events in the series, the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont. And those records, according to this, I'm looking for the latest update, as of earlier this year, all of those records still stand for time. A minute 59.4 at Kentucky Derby, a minute 53 at the Preakness, and 2:24 at Belmont. All those records still stand today.
Wow.
Considered to be one of the greatest thoroughbreds of all time. They're saying second behind Man of War. Behind Man of War. And, of course, I mean, there were so many other great horses during that time. But Secretariat, 1989, October 4th, passed away.
That's a lot of good information.
Yeah,
well, all I came up with during the contest calendar was a pumpkin pie eating contest in Maine. Dude, but it's pumpkin fucking pie. It's what I'm trying to tell you.
Whipped cream or no whipped cream?
Oh, whatever. Whipped cream for sure.
Trust me, I love good pumpkin pie. There's no doubt about that. Hey, Mike, so we had a huge weekend. I want to touch real quick on World's Strongest Man, which wrapped up. And, you know, for most the common viewer who doesn't follow strength sports, they're not going to even know that it actually occurred last week, let alone when it occurred. We won't actually get to see the qualifying heats and the finals until sometime around Christmas time when IMG and their partners decide that it's okay for the rest of the world to know that somebody was crowned World's Strongest Man. There were some pretty big shakeups. I mean, you can't argue the guy that won certainly is one of the greatest strength athletes that's ever walked the earth. But I think what's more surprising is maybe who took second and who didn't take third and fourth and fifth and sixth. Why don't you spill the beans on who was in the top five world in the finals?
I mean, the fact that Poundstone didn't make the finals, he was definitely, you know, an odds-on favorite to at least, you know, get into the finals.
Right.
You know, Mike Burke not making the finals, this was his first trip to Worlds. So, you know, that could happen. As awesome as he is, you know,
only competed for 3 years now.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, and what an awesome performance you put on in Americas. I mean, but definitely Sejurus Evicius winning. I mean, I don't think that surprises anybody. And when you say, because we kind of juxtapose the Arnold and, like, you know, World's Strongest Man / America's Strongest Man, kind of the more traditional, I guess, modern traditional moving strongman, more in the vein of Magnus Ver Magnusson, as opposed to the Bill Kazmaier strongman, you know, but when strongman first started, it was more like the Magnus strongman with the Franco Colombo running with refrigerators. But certainly there's a difference in the static strength events. But Zadrunas has proved that he can adapt and compete on both fronts. And then his countryman coming in second, and I still butcher his name, so why don't you say that one? But the guy coming in third, what is it?
I don't have it in front of me. Give me just a second. Go ahead.
Wallace
is his last name.
Yeah, he and him, that guy, you know, also from Lithuania coming in second. But Hafþór Björnsson, you know, Thor, you know, he appeared on the amateur Arnold World Stage Strongman. We had him as a competitor a couple years ago, and you know, the World Strongest Man folks, they're just licking their chops just by the sheer size of this guy. You know, and he comes in and takes third place. I think the thing that's most surprising to me is that the Americans, for a first time in a long time, are on the outside looking in, not even cracking the top three.
Right, right. The defending champion, Brian Shaw, being beat, which I think that a lot of people, that's not terribly surprising considering the type of injury he had and what you have to overcome in that short period of time to be able to come back to your former self to defend such a huge title with the type of injury that he had.
I would agree with that. I mean, it was a biceps tear, and you know, rumor has it that he was having some issues, some arm issues during the event. Obviously, stones, and they had, you know, not Atlas stones, but field stones, and you know, power stairs. I mean, some of those events are definitely going to be taxing the area for him. You know, that was
right.
Injured,
right.
Certainly. You know, so and again, it's not. You know, I think it's most surprising, though, that the Americans just did not crack the top three.
Yeah.
You know, with so much talent out there, I still, you know, submit that America, you know, after having watched America's Strongest Man and seeing the guys compete from top to bottom, America definitely has the deepest pool of talent, you know, in the United States. We have it here compared to the rest of the world with regard to strongman. I mean, in Lithuania, there's a new guy coming up to take Zadrunas' place. But, I mean, for every Brian Shaw, I mean, you got a Michael Burke in the mix. I mean, Poundstone's still there. Jenkins. I mean, Oberst. I mean, you know, Michael Caruso. I think if he gets into the international community, people are going to be very, very surprised when they have to go up against Michael Caruso, just how good he is.
Right. Vytautas Lalas is his name from Lithuania. That's Zadrius, one of his training partners. And you're absolutely right. You and I picked Mike Caruso, as well as Dion, picked Mike Caruso as the dark horse in this group, and he wound up placing second in America's. And I think that he was a little disappointed. I think that if, in all honesty, if he has somebody in his corner who can help him maintain focus after a less than perfect event, keep his focus stronger and keep his energy up and keep his ability to be confident in himself at a much higher level, he will really, really, really put a hurt on some people at the world level.
Absolutely. He is, he's got an amazing, I was talking about it during the log press event. He gets faster as the weight gets heavier. He's a technician. He really has some pop. He can move well, but I will give Michael Caruso and Robert Oberst, for that matter, a free piece of advice, from a veteran competitor. When you are doing static events and you want to wear the Chuck Taylors, I'm all for it. When you're doing moving events, get some different shoes. There is an absolute energy loss because of increased foot movement in the Chuck Taylors. It's undeniable. You need a pair of Sambas or a pair of Puma Romas, some type of indoor soccer shoe that still has a firm sole, but it has some supportive arch. They're made to run in. Chuck Taylors weren't made to run in the 50s when they came out. But they certainly don't absorb any force, and they allow the foot to move too much, which when you add it up, over 75 feet and a medley, 75 feet, but it's not just the 75 feet, it's back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, you are going to lose valuable time. I mean, there's absolutely no doubt about it.
Yep, that's true. Now, let's change gears here for a second. Let's talk about Robert Oberst. You know, here's a guy who just turned pro a month ago, had a rib injury. His brother, who's a physician, has been helping him stay taped up and take care of the injury. He comes into this weekend and is top three pretty consistently across the board, and comes in and the very first event, very first day, sets a new American record in the log press and does it convincingly. Now, Mike Caruso really pushed him to get there, but I think I really think for a guy who push presses 410 pounds, when he actually adds a little more technique to that, this guy is going to be right up there at the top of the world with guys like Zydrunas from a pushing power standpoint.
Oh, yeah. I think that Oberst's potential is untapped. And you got to remember, in Michael Burke's very first America's Strongest Man, he also finished third. He had a big win on one event. He won the Husafell Stone of Americas last year. You know, so coming out of the gate, Oberst had a nice burst of energy, if you will, by winning the first event. But he's got some holes to fix, too. You know, obviously the deadlifting is a problem. He had the rib injury on the car deadlift. You know, I think he was probably concerned about that going into the car deadlift. I believe he zeroed here,
right.
You know, which might have, I don't know what the score was and where he was sitting right at that time, might have pulled him out of second place, maybe even took him out of contention for first. I'm not sure. I'd have to go back and do the numbers. You know, but any time that you are unsuccessful on an event, it's going to hurt you. But the guy's got unlimited potential. But again, I look at the guys from top to bottom. Derek Devon is another one. Now, Derek Devon during the yoke, he actually ripped his plantar fascia. I ended up taping his foot all weekend so he could continue to compete. He's another guy, much like Michael Burke. He's tall. He doesn't have an ounce of fat on him. He's got room on his frame for easily another 40 pounds, and it would help his overhead. You know, obviously Caruso, we've already talked about him. Palmer broke his ankle in his signature event, and he had a couple disappointing events. He had the dumbbell was a disappointing event. The deadlift was disappointing for him, but he was right there in the mix too. You know, I don't think that I know he trains real hard, but he's got also a daytime job and that kind of a thing, and he's out there to have a good time and entertain, which he certainly does. You know, but he's a guy that, you know, put with the right group of people could really, you know, really make some noise in the sport. And Rodriguez. Right. Tomas Rodriguez is just raw, stupid strong. He's incredibly strong. Some of his technique is absolutely atrocious. I mean, he just needs to work on some things that are pretty basic. But, you know, I know that he trains with some veteran strongmen. You know, so sometimes guys are difficult to coach or they get there and they kind of forget what they're doing on the big stage. You know, but Tomas is a guy, he's got unlimited potential, you know, from a strength standpoint.
Yeah, he he's just such a quiet guy too, you know, unassuming. Although when he comes out on the stage, he is omnipresent because of his very unique walk and focus as he approaches the apparatus. He's certainly kind of a scary guy when you watch him lift. I know we had a number of the fans where there's, holy cow, who is this guy? Yeah, I completely agree with you. Tomas has really got to work on some very specific technique issues. Oberst needs new shoes, and I think that although the medley events certainly are strong for him, I think that he needs to train multiple events coming into an event so that he's got the gas to make it all the way through to the end. I think he really petered out when he got to the deadlift. And, you know, where he had a decent showing, I mean, he wound up probably third in the overall, maybe even second in the loading medley, but he was just done. He was spent, and I don't think that it's his weight that's a hindrance. I just don't think he was prepared to do eight events in 2 days at this level. So, and being, you know, only being a pro for a month and being his first show certainly was an outstanding surprise for a lot of people. And just his physical presence is one of those things that people are like, holy mackerel, look at the size of this guy. So, nothing but good words for everybody, that with all the competitors this weekend. I think that there were a number of people that had some disappointing events, which led to maybe a little less focus than they may have had last year at either America's Strongest Man or Olympia Strongman Challenge. And, you know, I talked with Mike Caruso afterwards, and we're going to keep in touch, and we've got something he and I are going to hopefully work on. And you know, I think probably more important than anything right now, Mike Burke wins America's Strongest Man, and there's not a lot of information out there about him, so I'm going to get together with Mike and see if we can help him and Marie get his name out there, find a place for people to go find him, because this guy, with sponsors and working a little bit less, and with the support group he's got, with his training partners and with his family, this guy's unstoppable, in my opinion, and the amount of size and strength that he put on in just the year from the Olympia last year is pretty amazing.
Oh, yeah, that support system, like you said, the training, but that family, you know, the first day he was out there alone, his family hadn't arrived yet. But, you know, he was a new man, and you really can't, you know, you can't underestimate how much that probably meant to him to have his kids there, to have his wife there cheering him on. Like he said, she screams louder than anybody out there. On day two, as you said, I mean, it was apparent, he came on, he exploded. And, you know, he took command and really never looked back. I mean, Michael Caruso pushed him, certainly, you know, Oberst was right there. You know, but he took charge of it and sort of ran away. You know, it takes nothing away from the rest of the guys. They were the performances this week were absolute weekend were absolutely amazing. You know, I could go down each guy. You know, even Brad Dunn, who didn't have the best showing in his life, he came in at like 255 pounds, and right, you know, and hit a 380 log. I mean, and he was there from beginning to end, and you know, entertaining the crowd and getting people fired up. And, you know, Van showed a little bit of the old fire when he, you know, rattled off six reps on an extremely heavy car deadlift. You know, and the Milkman Carl Fomel, that's a guy that doesn't get enough attention, because Carl Fomel is a gamer. He is not the biggest guy out there. He's not the heaviest guy out there. But he's much like Mike Caruso. He doesn't have a lot of holes, you know. And he gets in there and he gives 100% effort every single, you know, event that he goes to. And he's a fiery guy, and people like him. I mean, who doesn't like the Milkman? You know what I'm saying? The guy's a dairy farmer. Yep. I mean, he makes cheese and shit. Cheese. Yep.
He's no, Carl's a great guy. Very quiet, very unassuming, and watch him compete. You can see just that instant change and focus, and he's a lot of fun to watch, and one of those guys that's always going to be right there knocking on the door, the top three at every event, and Carl and his wife, good people, and his wife's certainly a great supporter of the sport. But hey, Mike, we need to get going here. I want to touch on a couple things real quick. October 20th, the Europa Get Fit and Sport Expo, you and I are both going to be there doing separate events. You guys have the 105 Pros.
Yep, 105 Pro Nationals.
Yep.
And the Strongman Fitness International Challenge. So we'll have some of our international competitors trying to earn their spots to the Arnold, to the Strongman Fitness World Championship.
Yeah, and then I will be over on the right when you walk in the entrance of the venue. You are the very first booth you will see will be the Bros versus Pros 12 Double Trouble at the Europa Get Fit and Sport Expo, $3,500 in cash. Three events technically, 315-pound squat and deadlift for reps for the men. IFBB Pro Derek Farnsworth, who's going to be our guest here in 2 weeks, the 5 foot, well, as I call him, the 4 foot nothing trouble. He placed in the top 12 at the 212 Olympia this weekend. So he comes in at 5'1", about 168 pounds, and is an incredible, incredible strength athlete. His squat numbers are ridiculous. The girls will also have, we have an IFBB Pro fitness gal that's coming in. Her name is Danielle Delicat. I knew I always screw up her last name. Danielle Delicat, who is an IFBB Pro fitness gal. She's going to be our pro female representing the group. They're doing the same events as the men, but it's based on their body weight. And she's pretty tiny, pretty light, so she's going to be knocking out some serious numbers. Then we have a one rep winner takes all max deadlift, and I actually got an email from Jerry Pritchett about coming out to do that event to try and take home $500 cash from one of our great sponsors there. And I want to talk about this real quick. Next week, our guest, now I know that Mike, you right now are getting ready. The XPC event is an equipped event. Next week, Sean Catterly, who's putting on the Bode event, the Bode Bench Invitational in Las Vegas, October 20th at Riviera Casino. Sean's a pretty controversial guy. Either you like him or you don't. Either you get it or you don't. And he certainly has his fellow detractors who think that maybe he's a bit off his rocker. And I'll agree, if you've ever met the guy in person, he's got a Barnum & Bailey mustache circa 1910. And but he is a true patron of the sport, knows the sport in and out, and knows the athletes, equipped and non-equipped, from way back in the day to the current day. Sean will be our guest. He'll certainly undoubtedly give his opinion on the current state of powerlifting and information about his event coming October 20th. And as I understand it, Big Al Davis has been a 700-pound raw bench threat for some time now. He's going to be there, and I know that you know Eric Spotto, who just put up a pretty convincing 705 gym bench while training with Dan Efferding in the Seattle area a week or so ago. Two of them are going to be there shooting for the big bucks at this invitational event that Sean's putting on. As with all of Sean's broadcasts, please, listener discretion is advised. Anything else, Mike, do you need to wrap up?
No, I just look forward to seeing everybody out in Arizona. We're going to have a great time. You know, we got a kind of a down week, and then or a couple down weekends, I guess, and then we head off to Arizona. Then we got XPC, then we got NAS Nationals, and, you know, get online there and look at the contest calendar. There are great strength events happening all around the country, in Canada. They're happening in your neighborhood. Get out there and support your strength athletes. Have a good time with them. You know, get up off the couch. You know, put the ice cream down, put the bag of chips. Lift something heavier than a fork. I mean, unless you're eating pumpkin pie. Again, pumpkin fucking pie. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
That's all I got.
Yeah, I know what to get you for Christmas, so that's an easy one. Thanks to our guest, the 2012 America's Strongest Man, Michael Burke, RX Muscle, Dave Palumbo, and, of course, Jeff, the producer, Sally Ann Taylor, our graphics guru, Scott Hohag of Custom Stacks Nutrition, Rick Brewer of House of Pain, and, of course, from Columbus, Ohio, my co-host, Mike Johnson. We'll see y'all next week with our guest, hardcore powerlifting promoter Sean Catterly. And until then, goodbye, everybody.
This has been the RX Power Hour. Check us out on rxmuscle.com and join in on the discussion.
Pumpkin fucking pie. Are you kidding me?